Good evening, and we're reading a special on-location chapter of Bedtime Stories with Thompson. We've been reading The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. And this is Chapter 6, A Battle in the Thames. As the dawn grew brighter, the artillerymen and I both agreed that the house was too dangerous a place to stay in. He wanted to rejoin the men of his battery, who had not been on the common, and I wanted to return to my wife in Leatherhead and take her out of the country. However, between us and Leatherhead lay the third cylinder, with the giant things guarding it. We decided to travel part of the way together, but first the artillerymen made me ransack the house for a canteen, which we filled with whiskey, and we both lined all our pockets with biscuits and slices of meat. We crept out of the house and ran as quickly as we could down the road, passing groups of charred bodies struck dead by the heat ray. Alongside them were valuables such as clocks, silver spoons, and cash boxes, which these people had dropped as they tried to flee. There was not a breath of wind that morning, and all the houses we passed were deserted. We saw not a living soul. We reached the village of Byfleet safely. We were far beyond the reach of the heat ray, but the village was in chaos. People were packing their belongings, and scores of soldiers were helping them load wagons, carriages, carts, and anything they could find. One old man was loading a huge box with dozens of orchids and flower pots while arguing with the corporal, who was trying to persuade him to leave them behind. "Do you know what's over there?" I cried, running up to the old man and pointing beyond the pine forest toward walking. "Eh?" he said, holding an orchid pot in his arms. "I was explaining these is valuable." "Death is over there," I shouted. "Death is coming!" And I turned and left him staring quizzically at the trees. The artillerymen and I made our way to the railway station, which was swarming with people pushing, shoving, and struggling to be first on the trains, which never came. Leaving Byfleet, we made our way to the Thames River at Weybridge. Here, too, excited, noisy crowds of fugitives were trying to crowd into the ferry boats which crossed the river at this point. People came from all directions, carrying household goods which they wanted to keep from the Martians, who, they believed, to be simply other human beings who might attack and rob their town. One husband and wife were carrying an outhouse door between them with some of their household's goods piled on it. Suddenly, a distant muffled thud, the sound of a gun, broke through the air. "What's that?" cried the people near us. Everyone froze as they realized that the guns hidden in the thick woods around us were beginning to fight. "The soldiers'll stop 'em," said a woman beside me, but her face showed doubt. Then a puff of smoke rose into the air upriver, and the ground shook with a heavy explosion. Windows in nearby houses smashed in every direction. "Here they are," shouted a man as he dropped his suitcases. "Yonder!" I quickly looked where he was pointing, and there, far away over the trees, appeared four of the Martian fighting machines, striding quickly towards the river. Then a fifth joined them, holding a box-like case high in the air. It was the ghastly, terrible heat ray. At the sight of these strange, swift, and terrible creatures, the crowd at the water's edge seemed to be horror-struck for a moment. No one screamed. No one shouted. There was only silence. Then panic broke out. Even with the rush of people all around me, I was still able to think clearly. "Get underwater!" I shouted, turning in all directions as I rushed down towards the beach, the artillerymen at my side. Some people followed me, others scattered into town. The stones under my feet in the river were muddy and slippery, and the water barely waist-deep. But with one Martian fighting machine towering overhead only 100 yards away, I dove under the water. People around me were doing the same, while others leaped from boats to escape. But the Martian took no more notice of the people running about than a man would of a nest of ants that his foot had kicked. Half-choking, I raised my head above the water. The fighting machine was at the bank of the river, starting to wade across, its heat ray raised. As it reached the opposite bank, on the Shepperton side of the river, a battery of 6 guns, which had been hidden in the woods outside the village, began firing. The monster was raising its heat ray as the first shell exploded a few feet above its hood. 2 other shells burst in the air near its body, then a 4th exploded clean in its face. Its hood flashed and whirled apart, bursting with fragments of red flesh and glittering metal. "A hit!" I screamed. "Hit! Hit!" shouted the people in the water around me. The headless monster reeled like a drunken giant, but did not fall. It recovered its balance and lunged swiftly into Shepperton. The living creature, the Martian inside the hood, had been killed, and the fighting machine was now simply a metal giant, driving wildly and out of control towards the town. It smashed into the church tower, reeled, and battered down buildings. After several minutes, it finally collapsed with a tremendous explosion of water, steam, mud, and metal into the river upstream. Its gigantic limbs churned the water and flung splashes of foam and mud into the air. Its tentacles swayed like human arms struggling for life amid the waves. As the heat ray hit the water, it flashed into steam, and moments later a scalding hot wave came sweeping around the bend in the river. Only the frantic shouts of the artillerymen near me in the water could tear my gaze from this death struggle. "Look, man, look!" he cried. "The others!" There on the riverbank, advancing with gigantic strides, were the other fighting machines. The Shepperton guns fired again, but with no success. I immediately ducked underwater and moved towards shore. The water raged above me, getting hotter from the heat-ray's steam every moment. I raised my head for a breath, and through the steam rising from the river, I saw the colossal figures. They had passed by me, and two were stooping over the steaming ruins of their comrade. The noises above water were deafening. The clanging of the Martians, the crash of falling houses, the thud of trees flashing into flames, and the crackling and roaring of the heat ray went back and forth across Weybridge on one side of the river. For a moment I stood there, chest high in near boiling water, with no hope of escaping. People nearer the bank scrambled out of the water through the reeds like little frogs hurrying through grass. Suddenly, the white flashes of the heat ray came leaping towards me. Houses on shore caved in and burst into flames. Then the ray flickered along the footpath which ran by the river, destroying people who ran this way and that. It came down to the water no more than 50 yards from where I stood and swept across to the Shepperton side, the water in its path in a boiling rose in a boiling crest of steam. I turned toward shore, but not before a huge wave, almost at the boiling point, rushed upon me. I screamed aloud and scalded, half-blind and in agony, and I staggered toward shore. Here I fell helplessly upon gravelly sand. I was in full view of the Martians and expected nothing but death. I dimly remember the foot of one Martian driving into the loose ground no more than a few feet from my head and lifting again. Through the smoke, I could make out four Martians carrying the remains of their comrade between them across the river and through a meadow beyond. Very slowly, I realized that by a miracle, I had escaped. End of chapter 6.
Come next, chapter 7.
Good night.